Has someone ever told you God has a plan for your life? The Bible says that's the case. But how do you know the plan? How do you know who you really are? If those questions bounce around your head, you're in the right place. We're going to address them in this episode of the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. Tim will be here in just a moment. I'm Brandon Porter. Thanks for listening. Men face all kinds of issues. Most of them have roots in who they are and what is their relationship with God. Re-Up wants to help you with both of those things. We have resources to help you, whether you're working through these important issues alone or with a group of guys. Learn more about Re-Up at reuppodcast.com. Well, Tim, as we get started here in this 17th podcast, it's week 17 in the study. I tell you what we're going to dive into today, it just reminds me of how good God is, how gracious and how kind he has been to us when we just have not deserved his blessings in our lives.
Yeah. You know, I've said numerous times that when I went on this journey of getting these six questions answered, that one of the most impactful things about getting these questions answered was it just made me realize how he has just poured out blessing after blessing after blessing. Mm. Just gave me such an appreciation, such a gratitude, also a sense of the simplicity of this and how we've seemed to have messed it up.
Mm-hmm.
But because Bob used to always tell me, one of the things is I grow in my walk and help others as well. One of the struggles will be the simplicity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And but when you really, unpack a focus on your identity, there's no way you cannot step back every now and then and just go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the blessings and the ongoing fulfillment of what he said he would do.
Yeah.
And validating over and over and over that he is who he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll just let him be that.
Yeah.
And so just, I just think the joy and the pure satisfaction and gratitude of that comes from this journey.
Yeah.
And I've said numerous times to me, when you really pursue God's heart, you start giving him time enough to learn enough, teach him and all that, there's no way you cannot describe this as one of the greatest adventures you mm-hmm. could ever go on.
Yeah.
Is pursuing his heart.
Yeah.
And, I could take up the rest of our time just talking about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that causes folks to doubt the gospel is just how good the good news is.
Yeah.
And I
there's
think
a reason it's called good
absolutely.
News.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we come to the point where God does for us things that we would not do for other people,
like forgive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I heard this years ago that apparently for some reason when we don't forgive people, we think we have a higher standard than God.
Yeah,
yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. The application mm-hmm. parts of all this too.
Yeah. So as we think about that, then it just illustrates to me the real reason that God has to do the heart transformation, the mind transformation, just all that has to be changed within us. And one of the places that we learn about that is in Ezekiel 36. And you include that in week 17. You include a lot. Some weeks it's reading scripture and then reflection and thinking through that. Week 17 is a lot of reading.
Yeah.
And I think there's a purpose behind that.
Yeah, well, because dudes love to read.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's
the truth. Yeah. So, I mean, from a guy who hates to read, to write a section that had a lot of reading in it. But this was actually from a book that I came across many years ago called The Rest of the Gospel. Not a thick book, but just a practical, powerful book to make you realize that there's so much more to the gospel
mm-hmm.
than what we realize. Mm-hmm. And so, and then he also talks about the rest that comes from the gospel as well. So the title of the book's kind of a two-pronged deal there.
Sure.
But, But there was a section on Ezekiel 36 in there that I just felt like I needed to include in this particular week of the study, because it just validates that God is a God of promise. Mm-hmm. And if we will give him the opportunity, he will do what he says he will do.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know you've got it, that passage pulled up, and you have the better voice than I do. So I'm going to let you read that. So
let's hear that. It's Ezekiel 36. We start at verse 26 and we'll read through verse 27. It says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." So let's start thinking through this, Tim. We want to take just a few minutes here and unpack that passage. First, he says, "I will give you a new heart." Yeah. What does he mean there?
Well, first off, somebody's a God of promise. I mean, this passage is just flat out a promise.
Mm-hmm.
So you could almost change it to say, "I promise, I will give you a new heart."
Yeah.
So these "I wills," you could plug in the promise. I promise, I will. So again, it goes back to what happened in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Adam messed it up, and so my heart was hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a hard heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I discovered this mass in my body a few years ago, in my pelvic area, I had a car wreck, and they discovered the mass in the scans they were doing. I didn't know it was there, and went on this journey and to deal with it and all that. I know I don't want to bore everybody with that, but what was interesting was when they tried to do a biopsy of the mass, they couldn't because it was hard. Mm. It had a hard covering on it. Mm-hmm. And so they wound up actually having to surgically open me up and get some tissue. But then when they were finally able to remove it down the road, this is kind of gory, I guess, but they brought it into my room after the surgery. It was in a container.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the size of a grapefruit. Mm-hmm. And they opened the container and gave me a little thing to touch it with. And it was, you couldn't penetrate. It was hard.
Wow.
So that was an organ.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually in lymph nodes what it was.
Wow.
But so using that thought process here, I mean, because of Adam, we were born, if they took your heart out and tried to penetrate, it was a hard heart.
Yeah.
And not loving, not compassionate. That's just not our natural makeup. Mm-hmm. And God promises here that in this, when he makes us new, that will change.
Yeah. And that's one of the things he says, that I'll remove the heart of stone.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
That flesh, speaking about being, you know, clay, so something that's moldable,
right.
Shapeable.
Right, absolutely. So, and he'll take that, and because of his, and he go on and down, because of his spirit within us, then that will form our heart to be more like his.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting in this text. So the word spirit is used twice, and one time it's lowercase, and one time it's uppercase.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the difference in those
two
things?
Well, obviously the uppercase one is the Holy Spirit, him, and that it will do and it will affect your spirit of the way you go about your life.
Yeah.
You run into those people when you walk away from them, man, well, they just had a great spirit about
them.
Yeah, well, but it's the Holy Spirit that will form that and create that in you so your spirit around people is different.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think about this, the small case spirit, as a desire or my momentum. It's motion in life, you know?
Yeah.
It's what I want to do.
A little more pop in your step.
Absolutely. I mean, we talk about that, you know, we got to get some spirit on this team.
Yes.
Means we got to get moving
right.
here.
Yeah.
And so I think it's interesting the way that he puts his spirit within us to shape our spirit. And so, you know, one place that I can see that God has definitely made an impact in my life is praying that God would give me a hunger for his word. Mm. So in essence, what I was praying was, God, would you, through your spirit, your capital S spirit, give a desire to my small s spirit to want to read your word and to know you. And he's done that. He's answered that prayer. And so to me, that you talk about this being a promise to be fulfilled, he will fulfill that promise. Sometimes it comes through us praying and asking for specific things. But I've just always been encouraged by the way that his spirit and our spirit come together and are one moving forward.
Well, and then flows into what you're saying. And my spirit within you I will cause you to walk in my statutes.
Yeah.
Well, that's the fuel for the engine.
Yeah.
To, again, let's go back, not you trying to walk in my statutes, but me through my spirit.
That's right.
That lives in you.
Yeah.
Again, back to our principle, living by the life of another. Here's a promise. He's saying that if you'll live by that life, recognize that, then, again, back to what I do is not who I am.
Yeah.
But who I am does have a huge impact on what I do. And all of a sudden, my walking through life lines up more with who I am. You know, on this side, we talked about the law back a few episodes ago. On this side of the cross, I don't get up every day and try to keep the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
Why? Because his spirit within me will walk me through those steps, and my life will look like that, but it won't be me doing it. Mm-hmm. It'll be him, his spirit that's in me, living through me to do that. And that's, you know, and as you were talking a while ago about the description there of the big S and the small S and all that, I think about, and you were talking about how it prompts us to have a good spirit, desire to get in the word and all, but also how the power of sin that lives in us is kind of the opposite of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then how it tries to affect the small S spirit and get us to think, well, man, I'm a knucklehead.
Yeah.
I can't lead. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I can't do that. I have a defeated spirit.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't come from the big S spirit.
Yeah.
That came from the small S spirit. Because of the power of sin working in that too. So there's an opposite of that as well.
Re-Up is a personal adventure into intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's more than a program to get men into church. Creating intentional structures with constant encouragement and focus, Re-Up aims to help men grow as disciples of Jesus, educating men in the Father, encouraging them as they pursue the Father, and empowering them as they grow in the Father. Alongside other men, Re-Up helps create a culture of expectation and accountability that gives you a foundation for a true disciple-making ministry in your church. Learn more at reupmen.com.
So, Tim, in the first half of the program, we talked about what God will do and how he keeps his promises and transforming our hearts, changing them, putting his spirit within us, causing us to walk in obedience to him. Well, what's our role in all that?
Yeah, in the study, I actually asked the question, I give you multiple choice.
Yeah.
And which of these things is our responsibility, initiating it, fulfilling it, completing it, or none of these?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a pretty simple answer. Mm-hmm. So, we just really none of, I mean, he's got to do it,
mm-hmm.
but we do have to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're not going to complete it. We're not going to fulfill it. Initiating it, maybe kind of, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
It's more than anything else. It's recognizing, getting out of his way, resting, mm-hmm. Hebrews 4:9-10. Resting in him and letting him do it and take over.
Yeah, you know, I think about the opposite of the way God raises his children is the complete opposite of the way we raise our children. And here's what I mean when I say that. I want to raise my children so they're not coming back to me constantly saying, not that they did in the beginning anyway, but anyway, to say, Dad, what do you want me to do next?
Yeah.
What do you want? Like, I'm raising them to be mature, independent adults who can care for themselves and care for others as they walk faithfully with the Lord. However, God raises children completely the opposite, because the more we grow in him, the more we come back to him and say, what would you have me to do?
Yeah. Well, dependent and independent.
Yeah.
And you're right. We raise our kids to be independent and not dependent.
Yeah.
Well, with walking with the Lord, he wants us to be dependent on him that's in us instead of trying to go independent.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got this, Lord. I'm good. I've got it.
Yeah.
Boom. Oh, there's a brick wall.
Yeah.
I hit. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a great point. I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron there because we want to raise our children to be independent.
Yeah.
But he's like, no. Just grab hold of me.
Yeah.
Be dependent on me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, back to Bob, the analogy Bob used to use. Otherwise, you're going to go around with a big smile, sad eyes, and nobody's going to want what you got.
Mm.
But if you'll depend on me, you'll have a big smile, happy eyes, and somebody will want what you got.
Yeah.
Because you'll look different.
Yeah.
You won't be so miserable.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And and it's so encouraging. As we think through this, that it is his spirit, that he is the one to carry this forward. And so as we submit ourselves to him, as we come back and lay those gifts and abilities that he's given us back at his feet for him to use that, it's still not just great, now you go figure it out. It's him working through us to accomplish these things. So he is still the power at work there as we surrender our lives to him more and more.
Yeah, back to some questions we've asked in previous episodes, but when really helping men understand that and how it's possible to live by the life of another, just back to the simple questions again. Okay, so Brandon, who stands a better chance of loving your wife as Christ loved the church?
Yeah.
You or he that's in you, his spirit, big S, through you.
Yeah.
Well, who stands a better chance of raising your kids up in the ways of the Lord? You?
Yeah.
Or he that's in you, through you,
yeah,
and with you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those are no-brainers.
Yeah.
But applying that is a different story. And so, but just knowing that there's the freedom there for that to happen. And, I've laughed and said, I, as I've grown with the Lord, I've kind of become lazy. And what I mean by that is I kind of enjoy just resting in him and letting him do it through me. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Feels better. I don't feel as tired.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is I get all the credit for it.
Mm.
My wife thinks, as I've said before in other episodes, my wife's friends think I'm Mr. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's my nickname, but all I've done is figured out how to rest in him, let him love Melinda through me, and I get all the credit for it.
Mm.
And so I think that is, as we kind of apply this this thought process here of him, his spirit within us, walking in those statutes and all that, I just think that when I talk to guys about that's possible,
mm-hmm.
and that's a promise of God. That's what that's what he wants more than anything else. I just see guys have a little bit of color come back in their face.
Yeah.
They light up a little bit. Because it gives them hope. They're like, wait, you mean, man, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired of beating my head against the wall, doing this. I've tried so hard.
Yeah.
You mean I can not do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a way.
Yeah.
And more than anything else, that's what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think that's just leads perfectly into it. There's such a powerful moment, I think, in the 17 study where you ask a question.
Mm.
And I think about, to go back to that raising children analogy, so often we've started disciplined conversations with who do you think you are? And you work through what they've done or the behavior or that sort of thing. And hopefully you find that moment to come back to say, because don't you know who you are? You're a Brown. Mm-hmm. You're a Porter. This is not the way we behave. We are a family who loves God, walks with God. Yeah. So we don't this, but we do that because it's who we are. Yeah. Well, you ask a similar question like that, and give some space for the student to just spend. I mean, we've come through a long journey, like you say, to go back all the way to chapter one and to think about what happened in the garden and the problem that we got that we didn't ask for. And so now to bring it to this spot to say, don't you know who you are? I mean, that really is a big question in week 17.
I use this imagery all the time, is that at some point in time in our life, you know, we can go to Matthew 16, where God flat out asked Peter, who do you say I am?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's almost kind of like God's doing the same now. Okay. So who do you say I am? But now who do you say you are?
Mm.
And, so I envision God sometimes up there with his arms kind of spread open going, hey, Tim, don't you know who you are?
Yeah.
And where that really came from, it's an interesting story. A guy named Sherman Smith. Sherman played in the NFL for the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
Went on to coach.
All right.
Was an assistant. He was with the Titans for numbers of years. He was Eddie George's running back coach and all.
Okay.
But Sherman, a couple years ago, the Kendrick brothers did a documentary film called Show Me the Father. And Sherman was a subject of that movie because he found out one of the kids he had been coaching for years and mentored and became one of his best friends, come to find out he was his biological dad.
Wow.
It's an amazing story.
Yeah.
But so Sherman and I developed a friendship, and we've spoke together at some conferences and all that. And so I was listening to Sherman speak at a conference, and he was talking about when he first became a believer, he was impacted by a gentleman who played for the Seahawks, big burly lineman, and he's the guy kind of led him to the Lord and so forth. And so Sherman was telling the story that even after he met the Lord, he still wasn't necessarily living his life like he needed to. And so one day, he called him Hutch, was his nickname. I can't think of his first name. His last name was Hutchinson. But he said Hutch kind of called him aside and said, he said, hey, Sherman, he said, I need you to do me a favor. He said, I need you to quit telling people you're a Christian. Because you're hurting it.
Wow.
And so he said, you know, they continued the conversation and got into some other things, and he said then Hutch kind of left him with the fact that the problem is, Sherman, is don't you know who you are? So if you don't know who you are, I'd just soon you not tell people you're a Christian. Because you're kind of giving a bad representation of my father, Jesus. And Sherman said it just knocked him to the floor.
Absolutely.
So when I was rewriting the study, identity study, and updating it, that's kind of where that came from, was to that question. Because I used to ask the question in week 17 was, okay, now write out, take a few minutes to write out who I am. Well, I like this question better. It's kind of like God's going, don't you know who you are? I mean, we've just spent 17 weeks on a journey. Now, one of the biggest questions you need to continue to remember as you move forward, because the enemy's going to come at you like crazy, trying to get you to doubt your identity. So I just want to be that voice in your ear all the time. Hey, don't you know who you are?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, wait a minute. Yes, I got the mind of Christ. I am a new creation. I am holy. I'm blameless. I'm redeemed. I'm justified. I'm glorified. I'm a saint. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the apple of his eye. Okay, yeah, there we go. So, yeah, that's kind of where that came from, just a kind of a culmination of God just constantly going, the enemy going, no, you're not really that. And God over here on this side going, don't you know who you are? You're mine. I promised it to you. You're mine. I gave you a new heart. I've come to live in you. I mean, all these things. Don't you know who you are? And so I've said, and will continue to say until the Lord shows me something, I think for a man, that's the most important question you'll ever answer.
It's such a powerful question. Don't you know who you are? As you think about what God says and how He wants to work in your life, know we want to help. You can find resources to help you grow closer to God and find strength and power in Him at our website. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll subscribe to the Reup Men's Podcast at your favorite platform. Learn more about this ministry by visiting us at reupmen.com.